Just when you thought we have heard about election fraud in the city of Bridgeport for the last time, you stand corrected. Not to mention, not only has that headline been told many, many times, especially in the last year and a half, but this person's name has also popped up before. Bridgeport City Councilman Alfredo Castillo allegedly convinced a woman who is not a United States citizen to illegally register to vote back in 2023 and allegedly persuaded her to apply for an absentee ballot that he cast for her. This is a story that is now really not only alarming, but certainly is ending up in the laps of many Connecticut residents, and they want to hear more. So let's go right to the journalist who broke this news earlier this week. Andrew Brown is back with CT Mirror and wrote this investigative report. He joins us now. Andrew, first, welcome back. But also tell us about how you came across this story. Very alarming.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me this morning. I came upon this story. I'd been continuing to monitor the docket and the meetings of the State Election Enforcement Commission, which is responsible for policing election and voter-related crimes. So last week, the SEC took up this matter and put in, you know, unsealed essentially a complaint from a 40-year-old woman in Bridgeport who is a green card holder, meaning she's a legal permanent resident, but who is not eligible to vote. And in that complaint, she alleged that City Councilman Alfredo Castillo came to her door with an unknown woman ahead of the election last September and pushed her or convinced her to sign a voter registration form, which specifically says that you must be a U.S. citizen to vote. She asked about that, according to the complaint, and Mr. Castillo allegedly said that it would not be a problem for her. She then had Mr. Castillo come back to her at another point in time, according to the complaint, had her sign an application for an absentee ballot. And after that point, he apparently took the absentee ballot that was sent out in her name.
Have you heard from Alfredo Castillo or have you spoken to this woman who made the complaint directly? Have you heard from either party since releasing this article, Andrew?
Not since releasing the article, no. We reached out to Alfredo Castillo through his current defense attorney. Mind you, he has a defense attorney because he is facing charges for alleged absentee ballot abuse during Bridgeport's 2019 Democratic primary. So I reached out to his attorney, who said he shared the complaint with Mr. Castillo, but that Mr. Castillo declined to comment. We did, however, before the story published, my colleagues who are bilingual were able to speak with the woman who filed the complaint in Spanish and confirm the details of what she shared with state election enforcement officials in that complaint.
And that, again, is Ariana Hernandez in your article that you're talking about?
That is correct.
Okay. And yes, so you just outlined that perfectly, Andrew. The reason that you listening, if you're wondering why you know that name, yes, Alfredo Castillo right now is already facing criminal charges, something totally separate. But again, election-related crimes, this one tied back to the Bridgeport 2019 Democratic primary, which includes allegations of possessing other voters' absentee ballots. So it's right in line with sort of the allegations that we're talking about now. You know, the big thing here, Andrew Brown, with the CT Mirror, I want to again thank you for this article and for coming on to talk more about this. It kind of begs the question, why doesn't Connecticut require driver's licenses in order to give a vote? I mean, bar anything, this just is another reason that we need to take elections more seriously. But also, why something as simple as requiring a driver's license, I mean, that would have at least been a step in the right direction to avoiding something like this. Don't you agree?
No, actually. So the state does require, in order to vote, either when somebody registers, a newly registered voter, you're supposed to be providing either your driver's license number or the last four digits of your social security number. With a person like Ms. Hernandez, though, she is a green card holder. I don't know what she provided as part of the registration, but green card holders, not only in Connecticut but elsewhere in the country, are able to access because they work here legally, so they have a social security number, and they also are able to get driver's licenses in Connecticut. Essentially, as the Secretary of the State pointed out, the deterrence is that when you're signing a voter registration form, it clearly says on multiple occasions, you must be a United States citizen. You have to attest to that twice on the form. And that form also spells out what the criminal penalties are if you break that law.
So you're just basically, it's like the honor code.
When registrar voters in Connecticut receive a brand new voter registration form, if it comes with a driver's license number or a last four digits of the social, they check that against their records to determine who that person is, to make sure it is an actual person, right? But it would show that this woman is an actual person and that she is a person in Bridgeport. If you don't provide that information immediately, they place an asterisk next to your name in the voter registration rolls, and you are supposed to provide that identifying information when you actually show up to vote for the first time. So those are the rules. That's kind of how I've had it explained to me, and that's how it's supposed to work.
Okay.
Clearly, this woman, though, being a green card holder, and this is not unheard of in this country, that she got through. She was able to vote. That being said, that has not been shown to be widespread enough to happening to flip elections, essentially, especially on a national scale, as I pointed out in the story. When North Carolina looked into this same type of issue post-2016 election, they found roughly 40-something non-citizens, all of them being green card holders, who were registered to vote or who had actually cast a ballot. That was, you know, a minuscule amount, they pointed out in the report, compared to the millions of voters who cast a ballot in that election. So it happens.
Andrew Brown is here from Connecticut Mirror, and we are talking about an article that he just released this week. Bridgeport City Councilman Alfredo Castillo accused of registering a non-citizen to vote, and this was in 2023. So, Andrew, you know, you just pointed out, obviously, what's on the books here in Connecticut and trying to eliminate this from ever happening. And as you mentioned, it's not widespread enough, or it hasn't been proven to have happened enough. And it's we're not trying to put conspiracies out there. We're not trying to, you know, dive into a narrative that is probably it could or could not be true. But I do think it sort of, you know, begs the question, you know, how many people really are able to do this? And even going back to what you just talked about, which is, you know, the asterisk next to the person's name, if they don't, you know, they don't give you the documents that are needed in order to vote. I mean, we're hoping and we're relying on the people who are running our polls, for example, or are counting the votes or are checking these things. We're hoping that these are decent human beings. And for the most part, they are, right? I mean, but when you look at what happened in 2023, Castillo is right up there with Wanda Jeter Pataki, who is the woman who was accused, and it was proven on surveillance video, of stuffing ballot boxes. I mean, and this is somebody who right now is the vice chair of the Democratic Party in Bridgeport. So it does kind of beg the question, could we be doing a better job of cracking down on this? And I don't know if you agree.
I think there are still ongoing discussions. You know, I reached out to the Republican leader in the Connecticut House of Representatives, Vincent Campolaro, after this complaint was unsealed, to get his take on this. And his point was that this is set aside the non-citizen portion. This is another example, in his mind, he said, of essentially Bridgeport political operatives being able to manipulate people through the absentee ballot process to meet their own means, not the means of an individual voter, even if they are entitled to vote. And so his main takeaway as I spoke to him was that, you know, the state needs to figure out whether or not political operatives should be involved with the absentee balloting process at all. You know, currently they're supposed to stop by, you know, they're legally allowed to help people sign up for an absentee ballot through an application, but that is where it's supposed to end. Obviously, the allegations out of Bridgeport are that that is not where it ends on some campaigns, and that there's actually people collecting people's absentee ballots or standing there when a voter fills out an absentee ballot, both of which are illegal. So I think it's a larger discussion, and likely will be a larger discussion about what is the role of political campaigns, candidates, and political operatives in absentee voting in Connecticut.
It is. It's definitely, to me, and the timing of this, Andrew, I mean, again, great investigative report here in CT Mirror. If you want to check it out, we'll put the link with Andrew's podcast on voiceofct.com. But I think what's also, you know, a huge takeaway is the fact that Connecticut voters right now are filling out on their ballots if they're early voting, doing absentee, or they're preparing for November 5th, the general election day. There's a referendum, again, looking at absentee balloting and whether or not there should be any requirements to get an absentee ballot, making it universal. So the timing of this is also really interesting to put in the minds of voters in Connecticut, because I do think that we should in some way, shape or form have the option of absentee ballot. I don't think people are, you know, fully disagreeing with the idea of absentee ballots, but you can see that we have a lot of brokenness, I think, in the system that could probably be addressed in a better way. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's not widespread like some narratives will say, and yours is not one of them. I want to make that clear. But I do think that it does sort of beg the question, if we're not going to address this when we could easily do it, what's to say that it would stop from someday becoming a widespread problem? I don't know.
I mean, the past year following the 2023 primary in Bridgeport, the number of complaints that have been fielded by the State Election Enforcement Commission and actually referred for criminal charges is, I guess, the clearest indication that there is something wrong in Bridgeport when it comes to absentee voting.
Totally.
We have not seen any criminal charges come out of that actual election from
nope.
to this point. But there have been multiple cases forwarded to state prosecutors for consideration for criminal charges. And I continue to be shocked that the State Election Enforcement Commission continues to docket and kind of investigate new complaints over a year later.
Yeah. Yeah, and honestly, after the legislative session wrapped up in the spring and we had something that really, I thought, put a black eye on Connecticut nationwide, to me, we really didn't do anything with it. I think, you know, when you look at whether you like the guy or you don't, what John Gomes and I think the many people sacrificed getting this surveillance footage out there and putting themselves out there and risking, I think, a lot. We didn't really do anything with it. I don't see where Connecticut really stepped up to the plate, regardless if you're Republican, Democratic, you let it, whatever. To me, I think we should all collectively want to have clean elections done and not be pushing a political, you know, agenda, essentially. And I just didn't see that happen during the legislative session.
It's yet to be seen what may happen. I have no indication. I mean, with the referendum, as you said, on the ballot, if that passes, there will be another bill in the legislature to implement no excuse absentee voting in Connecticut. And that will be an open process in which there'll be public hearings and offerings of amendments, I suspect.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So it really depends on you know, the next what happens on November 5th with that amendment. And then we have another session next year.
That's true. And we know, Andrew Brown, you are not going to stop being the wonderful investigative reporter that you are at CT Mirror. We so appreciate it. Thank you so much for being on WICC.
Thank you.